Yeah, the epi department at Hopkins was a little bit unhappy when a good chunk of my doctoral work was qualitative. But I've lived to tell the tale, and now a lot more people are doing qualitative in the epi department.
Really?
Yeah. But you still have to do, you still need a quantitative data set. Today I'm going to talk about some formative research we conducted in the middle of last year on out-of-school girls 12 to 19. And I just want to acknowledge my co-authors. We collected this data right before the post-election conflict in Cote d'Ivoire. My co-workers went to the office literally until they just couldn't and kept it open as long as possible. And I'm happy to say that our office reopened after a long closure this month. So we're back up and working again in Cote d'Ivoire. And I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit of background. Young women in Cote d'Ivoire are at considerably higher risk for HIV than their male counterparts. Now, for women in general, 15 to 49, they're more than twice as likely as men of the same age group to have HIV. But when we look at young women, 15 to 24, they are 8 times as likely to have HIV as males in the same age group. And also, women with more lifetime sex partners and primary level education are also more likely, are also have higher levels of HIV prevalence. And that's not a surprise given what we know from everywhere in the world. Caveat here, this is from the 2005 AIDS Indicator Survey. We know this data is old. They were supposed to collect data at the end of last year. Obviously, because of the conflict, we don't have new data yet. And of course, post-conflict, you're always going to have looking at a change in risk behavior, so what we will see now may not quite reflect what we saw in 2005. So the formative research I am presenting was conducted to inform the SuperGo program. And SuperGo, who is a cartoon character, you can actually see her in the corner. That's the SuperGo. Unfortunately, it's cut off just a little bit. She's a cartoon character who gives advice to young women and girls about abstinence, condom use, and other safer sex practices. And the main campaign really started with a multimedia intervention aimed at empowering young girls, young women and girls, particularly those who are out of school, but really it could inform just about anybody in that age group. And the models in the ads were generally young women. As a part, as an add-on to this program, we decided to do workshops also for girls who are out of school. Now, the reason for targeting young girls out of school is you saw the HIV prevalence differences. They're 8 times more likely than young men. If you're in school, you're actually reached by HIV education programs that are throughout the country, but if you're not in school, there's really no way to reach that population. And since women, these young women are at much higher risk, we saw a big need to find a way to give them education as well. So as part of the workshop, the women are going to be engaging in activities that will help them examine their knowledge, attitudes, and practices around sexual and reproductive health. And it will focus on HIV and really a lot on building their self-efficacy. So we conducted formative research in 4 cities. We included focus group discussions with young women as well as in-depth interviews that were actually matched with some of their partners. This presentation is only going to present the focus group data, and the reason is our office had to close for a long time and we didn't have funding, so we only were able to look at a small portion of it, but we'll be looking at the rest of our data, which is actually considerable in the coming year. So we did 3 focus group discussions amongst women 12 to 15 and 3 for women 16 to 19. We had 49 total participants across these 6 groups, and none of the participants were currently attending school. And in fact, some of the participants had never attended school a day of their life. And the reason we broke into 2 categories is someone who's 12 is not going to be comfortable talking into the same room as someone who's 18 or 19. So it's just a map of our sites. We had 2 sites in Abidjan, which you can see sort of at the bottom. That's the business capital and also a major port city in the region. Yamoussoukro is the political capital of the country, and San Pedro, which is also in the Gulf of Guinea, is really their 2nd biggest port site and just has very, very high rates of HIV compared to the rest of the country, partially as a result of all the activity and people coming into the port who have money to spend. And then Abanguri is a little bit smaller, sort of a little bit north of Abidjan. So the first thing we asked these young women, since they weren't attending school, was what were their thoughts about school. And the reality of it is most participants shared very positive views of school. And just a couple of things that were said. I think school is the key to life. When you go to work, when you go to school, you learn to write and speak better to work. And another participant shared, I think school is a very good thing, because when you go to school, you learn to read, think, and do things. And it wasn't lost on these girls as well that other women who were able to attend school often, most of the time, did have better prospects. They were more likely to get higher paying jobs, and they were more likely to have just better outcomes in their life. And this is something that these women were very acutely aware of. However, while some youth left because they did not like school or did not pass exams, most of them said they left because they did not have the means to stay. And just a couple of examples. I wanted to be a surgeon. Now that I'm not going to school anymore, it's do hair or sew, a trade. But that's not what I wanted to do. And another woman said that she liked school because I want one day to work to help others. But my parents did not have the means to put me in school. So we're an HIV program. We wanted to really understand what's their risk, starting with what's their knowledge about HIV/AIDS. And participants generally had some risk of HIV/AIDS and recognized the risk of having multiple partners. Now I'm saying generally they had some knowledge. A lot of participants had a lot of knowledge. This was not a group of women that did not know about HIV. They know what HIV is, they know what their risks are, and they know all the different ways to get it and what behaviors put them more at risk. And they were also able to list multiple channels for learning about HIV. These women had heard about HIV from television, from radio, and they talked about it with their friends and people in their community. And just an example of what someone told us, she must have one guy, because if she goes out with many guys, she can get sick from AIDS. And women really did know that multiple partners put them at risk, at higher risk of getting HIV. So making ends meet. The women that we talked to, a lot of them were either unemployed or underemployed. Especially in the 12 to 15 group, a lot of those girls were at home. Some of them were going to market with their mothers or their aunts or someone else in their family, or on the streets selling something, which brings in a little bit of income. But if you're working with your mother or your aunt, you don't even control that income that comes in, so you still have to ask for everything that you need. And some of the women were trying to learn a trade, such as hairdressing, but really we're looking at women who are not able to work in a lot of these places or wouldn't know how to even start. So despite good knowledge, the women described a constant search for money amongst their peer group in order to meet their daily needs. So what happens is if they need something, they're not bringing in anything themselves, they have to ask someone. They can only get something they need if they have to pay for it, if they can find someone who will give them the money to pay for it. So when possible, these young women and girls, they will obtain money from family and friends, and they'll go to their family and friends first. But if you think about it, most of these girls are not in school because their parents don't have the means. Well, if they don't have the means to send them to school, they don't have the means for other things as well, and some of these girls don't have family at all to help them. So if the family can't provide, they turn to boyfriends, and if one boyfriend can't give them enough for that day or for that week, then they'll have multiple sex partners, and a lot of these sex partners are older men that have jobs and they have means, because, and this is something that we saw really with the age group difference. Young men who are 15 to 24 don't have a lot of HIV. If their partners were in that age group, these women's risk would be lower, but if you're 18 and a young man, you may be going to school, you are less likely to have a job, so there's nothing that that partner can give you. So she will seek someone who's older, who has something that he can give her, and that helps her to eat. So some of the things that women said about this phenomenon. Often you have a friend, and you tell him that you need money. He asks you to sleep with him, and he will give you that amount. Another woman said, he will give me 500 or 1,000 CFA. It's the equivalent of $1 or $2. It is not enough. In San Pedro, with 1,000, if you pay for a chucky, which is a local starch food, so it's not even that nutritious, the money is already finished. In San Pedro, if you have a guy, per day he gives you 1,000, and has nothing to do with your food in the evening. You are obliged to have a second person. And finally, now girls do not look at the status of a married man. If he gives her what she asks, she will do what he wants. Many girls like married men because they believe he can do much more than a youth who is joking with you and gives you nothing. Married men, they can open the store for you and you are in it. And this was a fascinating discussion that we had with these young women because, you know, we're from a culture where we choose partners for very different reasons, but for these, a lot of these women, their peer group, 15 to 24, isn't attractive in a lot of ways because they need something. They need to eat, maybe they need to take care of their children, they have healthcare needs, they need clothes. And so they actually prefer men who are married, who are older, who have jobs, because that's how they, that's their way of supporting themselves. And if you think about what puts you at risk of HIV, we know that the older men are more likely to have HIV because in Cote d'Ivoire, your risk increases as you get younger, and the younger males actually have very, very low HIV prevalence. And we also know if somebody's married, he has at least one other sexual partner. So you're guaranteed that you're sleeping with somebody who's sleeping with at least one other person. So if you think about this in terms of sexual networks, the need to eat today really increases people's risks overall as these networks intermingle more people. So what can be done to help them? Participants emphasize the best way to assist them is to provide assistance to return to school, get jobs, or start businesses. And they emphasize that they should be asked what they want to do. I'm going to say this a second time because they took this really seriously. It was very important to them that they be asked and not told what they want to do. And these aren't women who want to sit around and want to keep going from person to person to get money. These are women who would like to have the means to go out and earn their own money and take care of themselves. So what one participant shared, you ask them first what they want to do, and then you help. If they want to do sewing, or if they want to stay in school, she tells you what she wants to do. For example, if it is sewing, she tells you that it is the machine that is important. If it's a hair salon, she tells you to pay for the hair dryer. So, in conclusion, most young women leave school not because that they don't want to go to school. It's because they just do not have the resources and the means to attend. And again, we've known this for a long time. It's just more evidence building. Knowledge is not enough to prevent HIV. People, in every survey we see, we get 98% of the population that at least that has heard of HIV. And these women and girls know how you get HIV. They know what all the risk factors are, and they know what they do to put themselves at risk. It's not enough. Until they have the resources to live and get through today, the knowledge won't be enough. And any program that we have to help young women out of school should include mechanisms to return to school, get job training and work, or provide resources to start businesses. And I think this is something that we've lost a lot because often HIV prevention programs work in a silo, and we're dealing with treatment, we're dealing with prevention, we're dealing, you know, outside of clinics and in health centers. But if we really, really want to help people, and this is something that our program is acutely aware of because we are only funded to do communication, and when we tried to do a pilot of sending girls back to school and paying their tuition, USAID actually told us no through the mechanism we were asking for. So it's really hard to get funding and do trials to show how these things work. But at the end of the day, if I have to eat, I'm going to go get a partner. And I may die of HIV tomorrow, but I'm going to eat today. Thank you.